have to have a dance off one time, Cecil.
Oh,
see
yeah.
You bopping over there.
No, I'm embarrassed. I didn't think you could see me.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Weird Awakenings. Tonight, we're talking about the Fae folk. You know, almost every area of the world has a group that are indigenous to their region, and they come in completely different sizes, shapes, forms. You know, a lot of people strictly confine them to fairies. And then you have others who see elves and trolls and just a huge variety of others. There's really not a set term. It's actually a catch-all. And the first time the word fairy was used in the English language, this was about 700 years ago. But like I said, you see elf, goblin, imp. There's just not a true form. So tonight we're going to be exploring the fae folk. I've got Miss Hadley Thorne here, and our friend Stephen, and our guys from Where the Folk, Cecil and Tully. Hey, what's your favorite fae person, place, thing?
I'll go first.
Okay, cool.
Mine is just dryads, because I think this description of them fits me perfectly. It's as beautiful and welcoming as the sunlit glade in a high summer, as terrifying and deadly as a winter gale sweeping through the barren forest.
I like that.
I like that too. That describes me perfectly too.
It does. I like it. I'm going to have to remember that.
See, send me that passage. I'd like to keep that.
All right.
That's awesome. I have to say, I'm impressed, Cecil.
I'm reading it.
It's okay, but you read it so eloquently.
I remembered words.
And it looked heartfelt. I mean, it was just awesome.
It's because it touches me. I don't know much about them.
Yeah, that description is epic.
Man. Yeah, yes, it is.
Well, apparently they appear to be a beautiful woman with delicate features, but I just made that, you know, me.
Okay, Tully, what's your favorite fae?
So, I don't have a favorite fae per se, but my favorite fae-related topic is fairy circles.
Ooh, cool.
I think those... Like, I would love to see one in real life at some point. I don't know if they pop up in America anywhere. Like, when I was reading about them, they are pretty common in Europe, like around Germany and stuff. But they say that if it is a legitimate fairy circle, that it could also be the witches congregate there for spell work and stuff.
Yep. Either of which would still be interesting.
Yeah. Agreed. I just like to see what it felt like around one. You know what I mean? Like just the energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, how about you, Mr. Pitt?
I honestly don't know that I have.
Okay. That's okay,
sorry,
too.
Sorry. I guess I'll go ahead and confess. I studied the wrong topic this week.
That is all right. I have been there and done that.
I am sorry. I apologize for that. The fae. So the fae or the fairy, you know, that's a. There are some. Have y'all seen some of the pictures that exist that people have taken of that, of the small fairies and stuff? So there's some out there that are supposedly real.
Let me see. I'll see if I can find something.
Yeah. You might have to look up fairy to find it. Be like a small humanoid creature with wings.
Well, my favorite thing about the fae is, too, like, they have the small ones, but they also have, you know, medium ones and big ones and everything like that. Mm-hmm. There's so many different kinds. Like this article says, it's the dryads, the hamadryads, the nymphs. Let's see. And the Naiadas, the Nereides, I'm probably mispronouncing all this, the Orids, and the Fossagrim. And they come in all shapes and sizes, so I guess it is like a catch-all, kind of like the Tugaloosh or whatever, like they use in South Africa.
Tugaloosh?
Yeah, like it covers a wide variety of like different cryptids that kind of fit into the same
Yeah, that is true. That is very, that's a good comparison, because in South Africa, they just have one word for everything that's like,
yeah,
you know, like, I guess would be adjacent to fairy. I requested to share my screen. I don't know who's.
Oh, okay. My bad. Here you go.
Was it a formal request, though? Did you put it in writing and send it?
So this is one of the neater ones that I saw when I was scrolling through. There's definitely some fakes in here, though.
Hi, Linda.
That one looks pretty natural to me. Hey.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, I have often heard that a lot of times when we see, like, groups of fireflies and butterflies and different ones, that if you look close enough, you'll see those features and everything. That, you know, sometimes it's not, you know, an insect you're seeing. It's actually someone that's come across from the Fae realm.
Yeah, that's that would be interesting. What does anybody go into detail just in the different colors that they might appear in whenever they might cross over and where they can be seen?
I read that it can be anywhere from you know, a light source in a way to just brown, green, blue. Like, they come in all kinds of different colors. Some of them are made out of like a wood substance, like the dryad I mentioned earlier. Like, it usually appears as a female made of wood, things like that. So they come in different features like that. It's a really wide species, basically. Kind of like how the human species is starting to be seen now. Like, we had, you know, the little people, and we had the giants, and we got the mediums and everything like that.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, the Fae is like a race, and they're different types, just like they're different types of humans that fall under that. So you would have like the lower Fae, which would be like the fairies, or elemental types, but, you know, they're all pretty much elementals. And
I keep seeing this picture too, which is interesting to me. I'm going to share it. I don't know whether it's real or not.
The one that kind of gets me is the nymphs, the race of the nymphs. That seems to me, which I could be wrong, where like our modern concept of what a fairy comes from. Like, because they're beautiful, but they guard like wild places and things like that. So I think maybe I apologize, I didn't do much research into the nymphs, but apparently that may be where our ideal of a fairy comes from too. But they're typically medium sized instead of like little.
Really? So
this almost looks like, I can't get this picture any bigger, but it almost looks like the wings are, they look like leaves.
Okay. Hi, Lee. It does. Hi, Lee.
Yeah, that would allow them to blend in really well in a wooded environment.
Well, yeah, and you would think that if something evolved in nature like that, they would, you know, evolve with features similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so camouflage, you know, because to get, you know, to survive humanity, you know, they'd have to be able to blend
in. Yeah, I know there are certain types of moths that I have run across in the woods before that they blend in and look identical to the bark of the tree that they might land on.
Yep, absolutely.
You were going to have something more important.
No, I was just going to play off what you said. Have you guys ever seen those stick bugs in the woods before?
Hate those things. They terrify me.
It literally looks like a stick.
Yes. That's Froud. I love his work.
Now, my friend that I've told y'all about, he's a professor in Arkansas that had gone to live and learned how to live off the land and all that. He was taught how to see these. And this is what fairy elementals look like and what they look like in the woods. And he was taught how to see them and identify them. But Brian Froud's work is, and Wendy Froud, his wife, there's probably the closest to what the real Fae look like out in the woods today.
Okay. Yeah, so the Fae would be kind of like the elemental that I have a picture of that we shared shows ago.
And let me show you, which you're going to see. I've got to find another picture. Hold on just a second.
You're all good.
Is that the same picture? Same thing.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
I bet that he's probably peeked over Stephen's shoulder often. But if you go and look at some of their artwork, I think you'll be surprised how familiar it seems.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times you've seen depicted the green man, you know, that has the face of leaves and everything.
You know,
like that.
I was going to bring that up. That reminded me a lot of the green man.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I actually bought a ceramic mask. It's been years ago now, but I'd never seen one like it. I have not seen one like it since. It was, you know, green man in style, but it had the autumn colors. And it was
weird.
Just amazing. You know, I'm like, I've never seen anyone depict it that way. It was always the green man, you know.
Do you still have it?
I do. It's boxed up at this moment, but... As soon as I get a minute, I'll.
Yeah, I was just gonna have you send me a picture when you dig it back out. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah. It's gorgeous. And like I said, I mean, I've looked for something similar since, and I've not found one. Oh yeah, that's cool.
And I have seen, and have had friends who've seen these type of entities in the woods, and I've often wondered if it's what people think are Bigfoot. You know, if we talk about Bigfoot might be a catch-all phrase for everything in the woods. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things, but I've seen the faces looking, and my friend Erin has reported, there's an entity where she frequents, and she goes and she's seen something like that in the woods. I'm not going to get into details. That's her story to tell, but
right. Right. But yeah, like I said, and Erin sees a lot too. I mean, she's one of those truly what I consider blessed people that just has that vision and everything.
I think between your stories and Stephen's stories, it's got me tripped out now to where, like, if I'm out fishing and I've got a woods lawn on my back and I hear a big crack in the woods, I'm out. I know you guys run toward that stuff, but I'm not running toward it.
Hey, man, you gotta be an adrenaline junkie just a little bit.
Yes, yes, it helps.
It helps. I mean, of course, the worst I've ever been scared, I think it was pretty much all due to me just being scared, but, you know. Because fortunately, I haven't had any terrifying encounters other than I just got scared.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, you can freak yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're feeling something, you know, not just, I'm feeling something, but you're feeling something. You know it's there. Everything in you tells you it's there. And you're just like, oh God, where is it? Is it night or is it not? You know, I mean, there's so many ways it can go. So.
And that right there would be the other thing. It's with the Fae, there's really not that many stories of these, the Fae being bad or wicked or evil, whatever you want to say.
To me, it seems like they're more of like protectors.
Yeah, maybe that's a better word than what I was, because I always revert back to that story that Elizabeth told us about the ones in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they seem like they were pretty territorial, especially, you know, like maybe there was some kind of magical significance of the mountain, but they've tried for, you know, forever to build a road through this mountain. And it's disaster every time they try to. And that's the lore, is that, you know, that just ain't happening because of the Fae.
Yeah, see, I've heard of another spot in West Virginia now. We're working on, they were fracking. I'm sorry, Morgan, I cut you off. But
you're good.
people that I know and I go to church with, they told me a story. They talked to me one day after church. And they were up there working on the oil rig. He was hauling, I think he may have been hauling sand in, or, well, I'm not sure what he was hauling. anyway, they had so much trouble. It was where the, to look it up, is where the very first bloodshed, very first deaths from the Civil War took place in Virginia at the time. It's now West Virginia. But they were trying to run that oil rig night and day, and they got to where they could not keep a crew at night. They had so many bad things happening.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, Tully, you had mentioned, you know, earlier that, you know, you knew that you had read and seen a lot about them being in Europe. I mean, I think all lands have their fae, including this country. You know, I think they're probably different than what you see as the traditional European fae. But I feel like the elementals, you know, the nymphs and brownies and different ones, that they are protectors. I feel like, you know, that elementals, that's what they do. You know, they kind of protect the land and everything. I don't think they're either good or evil, the others per se, but I do think there are some that are mischievous.
Good. Finish your thought.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, you know, that I feel like that some, you know, because I think at some point that they were on this planet with, you know, on this plane with us, and that we pretty much ran them off. So I think some might come back for a little bit of vengeance every once in a while. Nah. Or like say, you know, they're protecting something, so they're going to keep you away from it.
One thing that I couldn't find a whole lot about that maybe you guys, because I know that Hadley, especially you've been really heavy into this topic for a long time. But do you guys know anything about how they originated? Like how they're supposed to like how they were formed, I guess. Is there any lore on that?
I don't know that I personally have come across it.
Well, I think the answers you're looking for might be in the Tolkien origins. There are a lot of people, you might be surprised, that like are into the fairy lore that kind of look at the Tolkien books as their Bible.
Like that he might have had some personal experiences that he wrote the books off of, you mean?
They think that he was tapped into, but I mean, like, there's, and it's all very convoluted when you start getting into the with the elves, and that's, you know, you get into different types of fae. Most of them are elementals, which is that they're natural. They're of this earth. They're just like, where does fire come from? Where does earth come from? It's that origin. They're part of that.
So are they, would you call them gods?
I think at one time they were worshipped as gods. So, I mean, humans didn't necessarily understand that, but they were necessary for our crops to grow. You know, you know how when you don't understand something, you start to worship. I mean, I'm not saying you do, but, you know, back.
No, yeah, I get you.
Times, people did start to worship that. But it's all just part of the life energy of the earth. And when you get into, like, we start getting into the elven stuff, there's a lot of, in the lore, and it's all tied up with when the Roman Catholic Church came into these areas that were predominantly pagan-based. They started taking these old gods and elves and things like that and making them into devils and demons. And so you start getting into that. It's very weird, and I think that's why people look to the Tolkien beginning stories. I think it's in the Silmarillion, but there's the belief that like Tolkien had like these god entities that their creator made, and then they had children, and their children were the elves, and the elves were considered they're more than human. You know, they had more, they're more of the earth, and they had that natural stuff. But like I said, you go into the Seelie and the Unseelie She, and you start getting into the good and the bad. And it's really not. I mean, you talk about what do you identify with? I identify with the unseelie more than I do the seelie, because it's the dark half of the year. Well, the dark half of the year starts around Halloween. That's, you know, Samhain. And it lasts until, like, what is it, March 1st or May 1st? Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, that's when I feel best. I am a winter baby. I love the cold weather. I love it when you have fires in the hearth. And I hate summer. I hate it. And yep, midsummer is, you know, that's when, you know, it's like halfway through their part of the year. So when you start getting to that sort of lore, I feel like I'm just rambling. Anybody have a question?
I don't think you're rambling. I agree with you. I totally agree with you, because I'm the same way. If summer went away forever, I'd be okay with that.
I'm not a hot person. I need it.
And see, I'm just the opposite. The hotter it gets, the more miserable I am mentally, physically, and I've been that way all my life. But and that's the same thing too when you hear people talk about good and evil in the sense that people do now, when you're talking dark and light. I feel like that, you know, where in the fey realms and stuff, dark and light don't equate with good and evil. It's just different.
It's just like a southerner can't tell a northerner how to act, because everything's very different here. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for Texas, Landa. Texas is just
different. That's right.
You know, like I said, for me, the dark holidays, the winter, Christmas, those, like I said, Candlemas, those are holidays I do observe midsummer, just because I love midsummer. But again, you know, I like the return of the light is fine, but I really like those dark winter evenings when the days are short and the nights are long. And but again, when you go to the seelie and the unseelie courts, you have a lot of different entities. In the unseelie court, you would say that I'm just going into what I'm familiar with. And I guess DoorDash has arrived.
Yeah.
But, when you get into the court stuff, the unseelie, they're more forgiving and more of beauty is not so much in the eye of the beholder. Beauty is in the soul. And something can be completely and totally, you know, horrid to look at, but it can have a pure heart. And I think that's why I like the unseelyness of things more so than the shining court, where everything's beautiful and, you know, perfect. Perfection to me is not something. I see beauty in the cracks. I see beauty in the struggles that people have. I see beauty in the way people overcome things. Yep. You know, so for me, when you get to darkness and light, darkness is just a different side of the coin. You know, it's not necessarily good or evil. And I think that's where the problem is. Not everything's black and white. You have to have both.
Yeah. That's right, for balance.
Like I said, I can go off into, you know, we talk about white magic versus black magic. And, you know, the thing is, you can't truly defend against black magic unless you know how it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people often overlook the fact that there is gray magic, that it's not about, you know, harming or anything like that. But like with me, I work better with the moon because that's my planet. You know,
well, for me, all magic is gray. It's neither black nor white. It's the person using it.
Yes.
Evil comes from the intention of the person wielding whatever they're wielding.
Very true.
Whether it is a gun, whether it is a knife, or whether it is a magical spell.
Yep.
But this off topic here, let's get back on the fae. like I said, you could go into a lot of the lore when you get into the Wild Hunt. And there's a lot of stuff with Odin and the Wild Hunt. And then you have, is it Kernos? That's the Celtic god of the hunt. And there's a lot of the hunt came through the sky. You could hear the huntsman's call, and there are people who think that those were angels, and there are people who think they were demons. And the truth is, it's probably something in between. But mm-hmm. I've always thought of it as creatures that are no longer of this plane that have been called back. You know, some people think they're dead. Some people think that they're just sideways from this world. Mm-hmm. So, but you, and who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Because it all boils down to what speaks to your heart and what feels right for you. If something makes me uncomfortable, I tend not to believe it.
Right.
Or believe it too much. But like we were saying something last night, we were watching the shark shows and there was a lot of voodoo in it. And I said, you don't mess with somebody that's doing voodoo. You just don't
do it.
That's
right. That's exactly right.
You know, I have a highest respect for voodoo and voodoo practitioners, but that's not my thing and I stay away from it.
How do you feel about is the faith for everybody, or is there like a certain sect of people that would be most successful in trying to engage something like that?
I think it probably depends on where you live and what your roots are. The Celtic people were very connected with the land spirits, and that's something that I've heard of when there were mass immigration from Ireland into like the Carolinas and Georgia and that part of the into the Appalachians, by the way. A lot of that came with them, and they say that some of the Fae came with them.
Do you think the Tommyknockers might be like Fae as well? Because Tommyknockers seem to be a pretty big presence, like around here, and it seems like they started in Germany and places like that.
Probably so. I mean, I think that let me just start over and say, I am by no means an expert, but this is something I have read a lot about, and I probably forgot more than I remember.
That's why I keep asking questions, because I know that you've read a lot about this stuff.
Well, I think there was a time when these creatures lived amongst us. I think that there are bloodlines within people that carry that. To me, a lot of that, the Irish have a lot of it. They used to say that a red-haired woman was considered to be of the folk. And women with red hair and blue eyes or green eyes were always considered to be very psychic. But you have family lines that those bloodlines are thicker in. And then you also have we talk about this with Bigfoot. It's these elemental spirits will get attached to families. And when a family leaves an area, sometimes one goes with them. And so you could have that be your Tommyknockers that have come with a family from Germany, or you could have a troop of brownies that come with a group from Ireland, that they have some kind of connection with them. But like I said, I don't know. I think the higher level creatures did leave the plane. I think that, again, that they're on a different astral plane than we're on now. But I think that a lot of the lower level stuff we're talking about, the people that you see in the woods, the pictures that inspire the Froud's art, I think those are still here. And I think that one of my favorite quotes, which again comes from my beloved favorite author, is Charles DeLint. And he said, "There, magic surrounds us as long as there are those with the sight to see." And to me, if you look for it, you'll see it. If you're out in the woods, if you notice the signs, it's like what makes a flock of birds landing in your yard a sign from the heavens versus it just being a flock of buzzards that have landed on your house because someone threw out their turkey at Christmas. You know, it's how it speaks to you. Now, this is a funny, we talk about signs. When my mother was dying, and I mean, she was close. I mean, like this was probably around Thanksgiving. My mother died shortly after New Year's. And when I say a flock of buzzards landed, I went outside. And I said, I called my friend. I was like, I took a picture and I said, I couldn't make this shit up. Excuse my language. And because I was like, my mother must be, I said, if my mom dies today, I want someone to have seen that there's a big buzzard roosted on my house. But somebody had just thrown out their turkey carcass. So that's all that was. It was not a sign. But I think, you know, if you have to ask if it's a sign, it's probably not.
Right.
You know it's a sign, it probably is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think you and I've talked about when Jamie kept seeing vultures when it was just her and their daughter at home. And at the time, I guess Savannah was probably about 3. And I kept telling her, you know, you need to pay attention. You know, vultures don't just hang out around your house in your yard, you know. And she's like, no, it's vultures. They're disgusting. I'm like, no, you need to read the lore, because I used to think that too until, you know, Ian's the one who told me, pay attention. They're trying to get your attention. And she heard someone knocking on the door one morning and went out there, and there was literally a vulture tapping on the screen door, and the yard was full of them.
Yeah, you can't miss that.
That's... No. Right. I'm like, okay, what else do you need? You know, that's about as obvious as you can get. She quit questioning at that point because she knew that there was something that she was supposed to see from it and everything. So, and that it was probably that they were there for Savannah, because the only time Jamie saw him is when it was just her and Savannah.
Hey Mark.
Well, so I had one. I mean, like, this is crazy. This was like a very weird, and it only happened there in this time period. But I had just split up with the guy that I was with, and my beloved dog Domino kept bringing in turtles. And she, I mean, I would laugh and say, I don't know what these turtles are thinking. They're just doing their little turtle thing out in the woods. And all of a sudden, this warm mouth picks them up and she'd bring them into the house. And she did it for a while. And I finally realized there must be a message in this for me, that there's a reason this keeps happening. And it was, the message was, stay at home, regroup. And, you know, when you're ready, you'll leave again. And that was the thing, is I just needed to stay home and recharge my battery and just kind of collect myself. And once I figured that out, she stopped bringing turtles home.
Yeah. So other than like fortune for crops, I mean, what was the kind of relationship as far as like stuff that you've studied in the past or anything that anybody saw, the relationship between the Fae and humans?
Well, there is an author by the name of R.J. Stewart who I'd recommend anyone who's interested in the Fae to definitely read up on. Do you remember that policeman that we used to know?
Robert?
Morgana, that he studied with R.J. Stewart?
Robert?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very mm-hmm. interesting. But him and his wife would go to Asheville, and they had kind of, again, this is a police officer that I just met, because I meet cool people, but he was very into the R.J. Stewart teachings and learnings. It's not necessarily my thing. I do have some friends who are into the Fae. That's what they do, is they work with the Fae, and that's how they weave their magic. There's a lot to do. It's elemental magic, if that makes sense. I mean, it's not just the earth and the crops. It's about, you know, which I don't know how much you do know about the different elements influence different things. Like air is like thought. Water is emotion. Morgana, help me.
I know earth has to do with grounding and protection.
Fire is chaos and transformation.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting to work within this type of thing, you you're wanting to bring wisdom, you have to study for a test. So you would work with Fae like that are air elementals. Whether, you know, that would be something like a sprite or
sylph.
Yeah, a sylph. Or, you know, if you're wanting to do some type of transformational, maybe you're having a bad breakup and you're trying to come out the other side of it, a better person. You know, maybe you've had a bad divorce, or and you're just trying to transform. And so you might work with a fire elemental, salamanders, and just something like that. I mean, you can get into bigger stuff too. I mean, you would say like a fire drake would be another fire elemental.
Dragons are considered fire elementals.
And all this will fall into the fae realm. I mean, it's not just fairies. It's, when I say it's like, it's a different type of being. It's, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, that, I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But just trying to apply, you know, the kind of thoughts, you know, I guess that other magic practices have, like, what's in it for them?
You know, I think that a lot of times, and this is just, as Hadley said, not an expert, just my personal experience. I think a lot of times it's a connection also, because, you know, we all have so much of each element in us that makes us a part of who we are, our personality, and everything like that. And I think that you, by that alone, draw in a lot of these elementals. Because, like, I work with water. Water is my elemental down the line. So I work more comfortably with it. I feel safer with it. I mean, I know y'all are like, oh, we're not going out in the deep water. I love the deep water. Anything, you know, that's where my calm is. And that's when I feel a lot of those things around me.
So, yeah, just like when I was doing research on this, like a lot of the articles, you know, as far as the myths about fae, it's like you can't, they're not always going to like you. Like they're not just going to connect with you. And they likened it to like a relationship with a wolf that you find out in the woods, or like a coyote. Like you have to form that relationship one way or another.
Well, but, they're definitely feral, but it also depends on what type you're dealing with too.
That makes sense.
There's just some like, that are going to be more willing to deal with you, but there are others who, I mean, that's one thing you'll say, an elf cannot tell a lie. And a lot of the fae can't tell a lie, but they won't tell you the truth.
So they'll walk all the way around it.
Yeah, that sounds eerily like me. I think it might be a
they will withhold information. I would say that you can ask a fae or one of the elves a question, and you're going to get 20 different answers, and you still won't know what the answer was when you're done.
Yeah,
that's kind of like where my question came from is, you know, when they were likening it to, you know, just like you said, different fae, there's different animals react out in the wild in different ways. But usually with animals, there's like a symbiosis that forms that relationship. Like you see a wolf, the wolf is going to need something from you more times than not. To at least maintain a long-term relationship. Like you give the wolf food, or, you know, like my dog stays with me because I feed it. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know if there was some form of that where there's like energy transfer or,
Well, I put it, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
I was going to say, I think it's more like dealing with people. Like if you find someone you like, you're more willing to help them out than someone you don't like. You know?
That makes sense. I just, everywhere that I was looking was making those animal references.
No, so they're not, I mean, first off, I think, you know, animals, there's some animals that are more than animals, but these are highly thinking, intelligent creatures.
Oh, okay.
Like we talk about, I mean, this is one reason why I'm very interested in learning about Bigfoot and Sasquatch, is because I lump it in with an elemental. That's what I think it is.
Okay. All right. Well, my question is right here with the fae, see how the fairies are good, and sometimes the fae can be
tricksters.
Mischievous, tricksters, whatever. Could some of those be like spiritual vampires?
Oh, yeah.
People? So.
Well, and some of them do feed. I mean, you know, the Leanne and she is... it is a female fairy. She's a she, so she's an elven, but she's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman, and she's usually attracted to musicians and artists, and she feeds off of them. And
maybe that's why they used to cut the heads off redheads.
Well, these Leanne and she were, like I said, they're like muses to a poet or, you know, a great artist. And they, while they're with these women, they create. It's just like they're burning up from the inside out. And she would feed off of that creative energy until it was gone. And then she would leave them, and they would be in such despair that they would die.
That's crazy.
So it's similar to a succubus.
Well, but if she met someone that it was the opposite, like he, you know, she could not make him fall in love with her, mm-hmm. then she would be his slave. You know, she would be enslaved to him.
Hear me out. Hear me out. What if that the 27 Club?
Oh man, it could be.
Oh, that's a Tully. Wow. That's a great book right there.
Hear me out.
You know, I did research for this, and I'm sitting here looking over my notes, and I'm starting to think that maybe this was D&D that I did research on. This.
You know, that is something that people do really associate, you know. I mean, because I remember playing D&D when I was young, and it's because I was attracted to all of those, you know, the mythos and everything.
We should start a weekly D&D game online.
Who's going to be the dungeon master?
I don't know, but I was reading about it, and there was a red cap. And I thought at that time, I was like, this kind of seems strange, because the red cap is like evil, like it's murderous, but it's a species of fae that basically fights other fae. It's like the serial killer of fae.
It's the warrior fae.
Yeah, then I was like, you know, this eerily sounds familiar. And I was sitting here reading over my notes, and I was like, I think this was in D&D when I used to play.
That's where a lot of that comes from. And like I said, I mean, D&D is really like a spinoff when we go back to the Tolkien stuff. You know, I read Tolkien when I was very young because I was drawn to that sort of thing. But just kind of as I got older, I mean, when I got in high school, it was beer and
boys.
Hey,
Mike.
Yeah.
Who's here?
Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike. Anyway, so it's, I think that we're drawn to that, but I think it's part of who we are too, because I mean, going back to the crazy ancestry stuff, I am pretty much 24% Scottish, 20% Irish. So I've got that very strong in me. And that's where a lot of the owls are, you know. That's where, which we were talking last week with Tracy, and I told y'all, like, when we did my ceremony, she gave me a raven's feather from Glastonbury, which Glastonbury is where Avalon is supposed to be. And she had been there. Avalon is the land of the fae. That's, you know, which I don't know if y'all are familiar with the story, but when King Arthur died, the women took him to the other world, which was Avalon. It's the world of the Fae, because supposedly his mother was one of the Fae.
Yep. You remember last week she was talking about we'd find a feather. How many people found a feather?
I found a feather.
I found five.
I've got it in the freezer right now.
Yeah.
You need to tell her that, Cecil.
That's insane.
Yes. You do too, Tilly. Y'all need to stay in contact with her.
Yeah. After talking to her last week, it was something I've not done in the past because it just never clicked when she was talking about the Native American and their stories of the little people. And almost every major Native American tribe talks about the little people, you know, that some of them were builders and some, you know, protected you around water and stuff like that. I mean, so it was really interesting to read, you know, the connection. So that also connects back to all lands, you know, have their own variation of faith.
Well, go ahead, Stephen.
I'll tell you this. Good luck trying to get a Choctaw to tell you anything about little people.
Yeah. I'm actually sitting here right now looking at the Cherokee story of the three kinds of little people.
Yeah, now the Cherokee talked about them, but now the Choctaw, they don't like to talk about little people.
Gotcha.
The Chatter.
Yes.
Well, and I did want to clarify something from last week. Because I was talking to Cecil about this after the fact, and he's like, I had to even explain it to him. Like, whenever I bring up stuff like the example from last week about the girl using voodoo whenever she doesn't have a background in voodoo, like, I wasn't trying to say that Native American ceremonies were akin to that. I just meant, like, and as we talk about all of these different things, I'll keep bringing it up, but I mean, like you're walking through the woods and you find, you know, some sort of Native American incantation for, you know, some sort of like summoning ritual or something like that. That's really what I mean. Like, whenever you're out of your element completely and you're using something very powerful.
Yeah.
In other words, don't dabble. You know,
if you don't know, then don't. Like, I know that Tracy's very careful and that you guys are very careful and know what you're doing when you're doing it. And I didn't want to
say somebody like me shouldn't do it.
I'm saying,
you don't pick up a book and cast a you know, circle and think you're going to hold a demon in it, is what you're saying.
And I'll keep bringing that up to our audience because I think it's super important. And it may or may not be from experience. but these things can be very dangerous if used in the wrong ways.
Or if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing too. Like I said, you know, I have a certain pantheon, I guess, per se, that's my element. That's where I'm comfortable. And that's what I deal with. It's like, say, I would never step into voodoo because I respect it, you know, but, you know, I would never try to summon a demon, you know.
Well,
I mean, it's just.
Tracy's one of my favorite people. I just didn't want it to seem like I was trying to say that.
I don't think she took it that way.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, and I agree with you. Like I said, I think that's where a lot of people get in trouble. I remember meeting with a group, it's been years ago. Some people we had a little bit of a bad experience with by the time it was done. But we would meet for coffee and talk about these things. And there was this kid that he was probably 20 years old and was probably one of the most empathic people I had ever seen. This kid, I mean, could almost tell you word for word what you were thinking. He was just that tuned in. And he's just going on and on and on and on about, you know, the things he sees and feels and everything. And I'm like, there are people sitting here right now that would take advantage of that because he didn't have a clue how to.
Who are you talking about?
He was a kid over in Hattiesburg. The one
that came to your house that time?
God, no. Okay. God, no. Yes. Okay. I've had people show up at my house before. You know, but
I don't invite people over, folks.
Right. Well, you know, occasionally you say, oh, come by anytime, not thinking they'll show up because, I
think they will.
Yeah, I know this now. But see, there's a difference there, Cecil. I consider you family. This is a kid I met a time or two, you know, I mean, in passing, we didn't have, you know, this relationship that, you know, said, oh, we're going to come spend the night at your house without calling. We're just going to show up, you know.
I have a story to tell on you about that.
Okay, cool. But you know, it was a kid over in Hattiesburg, and it was, you know, the couple we had all the problems with. You could tell by his face he was calculating how he could use this kid.
Well, and I will say that I learned my lesson with trying to. I tried to help people network with other people's. I mean, because my thing is, you might not be my flavor, but, you know, you might be somebody else's. You know, I don't like just anybody, but I think that everyone should be able to find people to talk with about this sort of thing.
Yes.
And so I really worked hard at networking people of this mindset for a while and then just stopped because there's so much predation in that community. And it's very disturbing to me. And by predation, I mean, there are people who will just take advantage and they know enough to do it. And when you're dealing with people, and this, I mean, I'm going to loop this into the Fae, is because I really believe the people who are more highly in tune to psychic, I think that it is something that is in their genetics. I think it's a bloodline thing. I don't know necessarily where that comes from. It could be the Fae, it could be somewhere else. But I do believe it's in our genetic coding for people to be predisposed to be highly psychic. And people that learn how to manipulate it, they can. My ex-husband, who will not be named.
Voldemort.
he was what I consider a psychic vampire. And the minute I decided to divorce him, I physically felt a giant tentacle release from around my neck. And I had not known he had that much of a hold on me. And I mean, it was very eye-opening, but yeah, there's some people who can do things and you just have to be very careful. But I'm going to tell on Morgana real quick, because the guy that I was talking about, that showed up at her house, we were at, Celtic Fest one year and he started walking towards us. And she said something, and she threw up a psychic shield, and it was like visually watching him walk through a wall.
That's wild.
And I have never seen anything like that before since. But she threw up that shield, and he did not come. He did not come any further.
That's crazy.
I need to learn how to do that.
I need to learn how to do that, but she did it.
And you know, I've always told myself, don't ignore those things. But sometimes, you know, you forget. It's like intuition. If your intuition tells you something, listen to it.
Yes.
You know, well, because I can tell y'all right now, if you meet someone and they start telling you that they are a, what was he?
Oh, gosh.
An ascended master.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, what?
An ascended master, and he's here to teach you, you know, everything you need to learn. And you're like 20 years older than him. He is not an ascended master. He is an asshole. And you
just- I mean, and he literally, I had met him 2 times, and
he had no humble. He was had no, yeah. No, it was all ego with him.
Right. And I mean, I literally heard someone drive up in my yard, and it was him and his kid brother.
What?
Yes.
Was he a Theomite or?
Do what?
Was he a Theomite? A Theomite or what?
I don't know what the hell he was. An asshole. There you go. But I mean, yeah, they just showed up. You know, yeah, we decided to come down and see you and stay the night. And I'm like, okay. At that point in time, I was so thrown by it that I'm just like, okay, come on in. Then my husband called, and he's like, oh, hell no, you know, because, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to do at this point. He goes, well, I'll tell you what to do. Just give one of them the phone. And I'm like, look, this is fine. My son was home at the time, so I was not worried about anything physically happening. But I mean, who does that?
Yeah, that is scary.
You know, I mean.
People with no sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This wasn't a dangerous person. Don't get me wrong. He was not dangerous. He was not going to. You know, he was completely harmless, but he was someone who got a little bit of knowledge and it went straight to his head. And that's one thing. And again, this is me just sharing my experience. In communities like that, where you have a lot of people who the only thing you have to do is read a book to consider yourself a great master of knowledge, it's very dangerous. There's no checks and balances in it. And that's one thing I'm a big advocate for.
Those are the type of people who end up getting hurt.
Yeah, it's like what you said. These are the kind of people who are, oh, look, here's a book on how to summon a demon. Let's try this because I'm all powerful.
Well, yeah, that story that I always tell about the girl, she summoned Legba to try to get back at her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ended up getting unalived, like, immediately. Like, it wasn't a delayed thing. It was like they found her dead mid-ritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just right. Enough. All you got to do is just enough. I mean, and there's just there's a lot of there's a lot of people out there who have power they don't know how to tap into, and a lot of people who are able to tap into power they have no idea how to wield. And you just have to be careful. And that's, like I said, that's one reason I kind of decided again to stay home with my turtles. And
yep. Well, you know, and that's the thing too, that I've often seen, and I tell people, especially people who are searching, read everything you can get your hands on, but pay attention to what actually speaks to you and throw the rest of it away. You know, I mean, because I mean, I'm that person, I can find beauty in, you know, in the Quran, in the Bible, in all of these different things. But that doesn't mean I'm going to take it wholeheartedly, you know, without questioning.
Yeah.
But well, some people do. They, like you say, they read one book and it's like, okay, this is me. This is my life.
I picked up a book one time, and on one side of the page, it had the words of Buddha. And on the opposite side, it had the words of Jesus. It was the same stuff, guys. The same stuff.
Almost.
It's all about how it speaks to you.
Most major religions at the core have a lot of similarities as far as principles are concerned.
Yeah, they do.
Well, there's a reason why every pantheon is the same. They just have different names and they look a little different. They might have a different backstory, but it's this. I mean, Zeus and God, I can't think of it. Jupiter.
Uh huh.
They're the same.
Yep.
You know.
That's correct. Well, you know, and if you read a lot of the teachings of Buddha and the words of Christ, they taught the same message. You know, love your fellow man. You know, be a good person.
Yeah, what I always thought was interesting about Buddhism, we're way off topic.
Oh yeah,
we are.
I'll drop that for now. We'll save that for another day.
I'll put that on the list. We're gonna do comparative religion.
Comparative religion would be a good conversation. Hey,
we stuck to faith for about 45 minutes, so that's a
we
that's
did. That's good.
Yeah.
But you know, and the thing is, the faith does tie in to so many faiths. You know, I actually had someone tell me one time, and I'd never thought about it. And they're like, "Well, you believe in fairies?" And I'm like, "Okay." And he believes in angels.
Angels and fairies are the same thing. Yeah,
exactly. And that was the point he was making. And I'm like, you know, I've never quite thought of it that way. But, you know, what looks like a fairy to me may look like an angel to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you look at that, I mean, you have angels that are good, and you have fallen angels. Then that right there would be a very similar comparison to the fairies and the fae.
Yeah.
I've got a pothead moment here. What if, like, fairies are like fallen angels, but they wasn't as bad, so they just got transported to the plane of Earth, like, and then the bad ones got sent on down.
Well, I mean, they're actually with what I believe, Cecil, that's the case. It's just like Apollyon is bound up in a bottomless pit that they're trying to open with CERN right now.
Okay, we did not make it to the hour without CERN coming up, though.
You knew one of us would do it.
Oh yeah,
every episode. Because the knowledge needs to be out there.
Go
back to, and I'm going to tell y'all, this is a funny story, which I think Tully, we probably talked about it last week with Scott Baker did what I consider a very fey thing. He said that his cousin or brother-in-law or somebody was asking him about the CIA. And so he walked in the room and he told him, he's like, "Oh my God, what are y'all? They're going to know. They're going to shut your phone down." And he's like, around that time, the lights went out or something. And he had them believing that the CIA was listening and they had done all this stuff. And they were all like, and he said he walked out of the room and the guy's wife looked at him. She goes, "You know, you've got them wound up for a good 2 hours." That is a very fae thing to do. That is what I think of the fae and being tricksters. That's what I think of. It can be something as innocent as that.
Yep.
Yeah. I've calmed down a lot, but if he would have told me that 6 years ago, I'd be standing in Walmart parking lot with a sign. I'm like, I know the answers. I know a guy in the CIA.
But, you know, I remember Bo and I had friends over. The two friends had just met, but we were playing cards. And it was me and my friend Renee and Bo and his friend Chaz, you know. And Chad had it in his head that I was like, you know, the mythological witch. That, you know, I had a cauldron out back and I was, you know, raising things and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, you just never know. And he didn't realize that I was dealing the cards and I threw one down. I said, well, that's a three of hearts. And it just lucked out and it was. And it freaked him out. So then Renee could see his hand and he didn't know it. And he'd get ready to play. And she'd signal me, and I'd just tell him, you know, that's an eight of clubs. He got up and left the table. He would not play cards with us anymore.
I have a weird story like that that I'll share really quick. Mm-hmm. So there's somebody on this planet who has a tattoo because of me. and it was random knot. I didn't have any tarot cards. But he wanted almost like a tarot reading. Mm-hmm. And all I had was playing cards. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, all I can do is pull cards, feel it out. And if it has any significance, you tell me. And ended up pulling an ace and a 12 of hearts. And he was like ex-military. And apparently there was like a unit that was A12 that he had been a part of, and the heart had some significance too. I forget, but he ended up getting the ace and 12 tattooed after that.
Well, sometimes I think we are merely the messengers for a message that other people need to get.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't me, you know, like all I did was just focus,
mm-hmm. You know, and that's when someone asks me, you know, What is casting? I said, you know, look at it. I said, and this is just a simplicity, the power of prayer. It's you're focusing your energy, you're asking for something, and it's sincere, and then that's why you're getting it. You know, so like I said, a lot of times it's just that focus, and what you need comes.
Well, I have a confession.
Yeah?
I've got a huge cauldron in my backyard. But I have a more bit of a confession with it. It is a big it was like my great great grandmother's old wash tub. Mm-hmm. And I have plants in it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So right now I think it's poison oak and clover, but,
but you know, and I'll tell you too, Tully, you asked, you know, what do they get out of it? And this is just me. Everybody may not do it, but it's me. I at least once or twice a week put milk, honey, and bread in my backyard for the faith.
I do it at midsummer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm more focused on holidays. But I always try to leave offerings because it doesn't hurt. What have I lost? You know?
Right. Well, and I'll be honest, Tully. I think that the Fae look at us more like the wolves than we look at them.
I can see that.
I think they think of us as little feral pets. You know? I'll see this dog right now. We'll see. We'll see what'll happen with it.
So, yep. All right, guys. That's a little bit past our time, but for the most part, we did stay on subject. I'm so proud of us.
That's a good, it's been a good episode.
Yes, you know what this is? Pat on the back.
All right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. Make sure you go and follow, like, and all that good stuff. And until next week, stay weird,
guys.